Jeromey was 16 when the hair began.
It started on my cheeks and then my jawline, and then eventually it started on my neck and then beneath my jaw. So pretty much my entire neck was just like hair. And then over time, it just got thicker and longer and more coarse. And I just didn't really know what to do. And so I just didn't do anything about it. And so I would just walk around with hair on my face. And then when I started shaving it, the shaving just didn't really help. It just made it worse. I was so self-conscious about it, to the point where I wore nothing but turtlenecks and scarves. It would be 110 degrees and you will still see me in a turtleneck or a scarf. At that age, sort of becoming, you know, a woman, and it felt like I was not becoming a woman. It felt like I was becoming something other than.
Becoming a woman comes with one instruction: be beautiful. So in adolescence, girls carry purses before they have anything to put in them, and they wear bras before they have breasts. We believe that if we do these things, we will be desired, and then we will become sexual beings. But if you feel yourself becoming other than, as Jeromey did, how can you find your sexuality? Where will you get your power? This is a dark story, but it's in the darkness that she finds her answer. I'm Allison Barringer, and this is Bodies, a show about people solving mysteries about their bodies.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Jeromey was born and raised in Los Angeles. Her parents immigrated from Belize. Her father left when she was young, and from 12 years old, she lived in a one-bedroom apartment in the LA neighborhood Baldwin Village, or the Jungles, as it's called. Her brother slept in the living room, she and her older sister on a bunk bed in the bedroom with their mom. Over time, the springs wore through the mattress, and she'd wake up with cuts on her body. As close as the family was physically, she didn't have a good relationship with them. She was raised to see the world in black and white. There was good, and there was evil. From a young age, Jeromey was fascinated with the dark side of things, an unwelcome curiosity in a religious environment. She spent a lot of time at the library. High school was a lonely, difficult time. Her otherness was cemented by the kids who taunted her for being overweight and having big lips. And the hair just kept growing. Her mom and sister didn't help, and Jeromey was totally lost when it came to grooming. California Medicaid didn't cover anything besides the basics, and so Jeromey didn't see a doctor about the hair.
When I was in high school, I thought I was the ugliest person in the world. Like, I thought that I was just hideous. Just thought that I was, like, monstrous.
She didn't have many friends and never had crushes on anyone.
I actually thought I was asexual because I just didn't really like anyone. But then I realized it was just because of how I felt about my body and how I felt I looked. I just didn't feel like that part of life was available to me. And I just would get teased all the time. I've gotten rumors spread about me that I was, you know, a hermaphrodite that was transitioning or something.
One day she came home feeling like it was all going to boil over.
It was a very dark experience dealing with these emotions, and I just wanted to get rid of it. I just felt that ugly. I felt like it was killing me, and I just kind of felt like I just had to just kill it first. I just had these images, and then I had the anger, and so I was just like, how do I turn these feelings into, you know, real physical beings? And so I was just like, you know, I need to make something. I didn't know what.
So she went to the computer and she started typing.
Helena, Helena, what must we do to save a sad little girl like you? You're offensive, displeasing to the eye, hoping, waiting, wishing to die. Ugly, ugly, that's what you see. The more you believe, the uglier you will be. Her red coat and her black dress. All the kids point, all the kids whisper. How can God create such a mess? Four little beauties, wisdom, envy, wrath, and despair, blinded by false beauty with arrogance to spare. Wrath with the hair of gold, envy with the eyes of diamonds, wisdom and despair with the bodies fierce as a lion. She grabs Wrath and shaves off her precious hair. Wrath had no control, Wrath screams in fear. She takes a knife and carves Envy's eyes out. She stretches her arms, her blood pours out. After I finished it, it was like the anger kind of subsided. And then I went back and read it, and I was just like, wow, I was really angry. And it was kind of like I was looking back at my own vomit. And I'm just like looking at it, I'm just like, wow, that's really dark and kind of disturbing. But it was something that needed to come out. And so there it is.
Jeromey wrote a lot of stories like this, but she mostly kept it to herself. She was afraid her violent, dark stories would alienate people. When she did share her work,
they were just like, yeah, you're a little bit too much for me, so I'm just gonna step away. And so that's happened to me a lot.
After her junior year, she got a scholarship to go to a film summer program for high schoolers at New York University. And after that, she had her heart set on going to NYU for college. Her dream was to write and direct horror films.
I just feel like I'm just a strange paradox where I'm like, I have low self-esteem, but then at the same time, I'm like confident. Education was always really important to me. I come from a poor environment and I just didn't want to be there. And it was that drive that kind of like pushed me out of my self-destructive habits.
NYU was the only college she applied for, but she didn't get in. Jeromey was heartbroken. With nothing to do and no school to go to, things started getting especially bad.
I felt like the depression was me. Like, depression wasn't something that was outside of myself, that was separate from me.
The depression got so bad that she was hospitalized for a suicide attempt. It was a really traumatic experience for her. But someone was finally saying to her, "You need help. This is bad. This is not normal."
It was the first time that the severity of my unhappiness was acknowledged.
Jeromey found a therapist that she liked, and she started talking to her about how much the hair was bothering her.
Instinctively, I just felt like if my hormones is off and imbalanced enough that I'm growing hair all over the place, then I can only imagine what it's doing to me psychologically and to my mood and to how I feel about myself.
And so she went to a clinic that accepted Medicaid.
I showed them my hair, you know, look at the hair on my face and my neck. There has to be something wrong. And they attributed it to my weight and told me that it's possibly because I'm quote unquote obese. You know, my weight was something that they always brought up. I just gave up on that for a while. I just thought I would never get help with this.
She was hardly leaving the one-bedroom apartment. She had terrible insomnia and would stay up late after her mom and siblings had gone to bed, watching old horror films. Her self-education began. Personally, I always associate horror with blood and gore and violence against women.
Once I started digging and started watching more obscure films, and I was just like, wow, this is like really, really great. And I started ignoring all the crap that you see in like mainstream horror.
She started watching old black and whites, cult classics, foreign language films from Korea, Japan, Italy, and France.
It feels like there's like a snake moving up your body. Like that's what it feels like every time I watch any kind of Japanese horror or Korean horror. And like, I love that.
She fell in love with the lighting. She was captivated by the power of the female characters. One of Jeromey's favorite horror films is Ginger Snaps. It's a cult classic, and it's about these two sisters named Ginger and Bridget. And on the same night that Ginger gets her first period, she gets bit by a werewolf. And over the course of the film, as Ginger is becoming a woman, she's also becoming a werewolf. The first time that Jeromey watched it,
I was like, oh my gosh, that is me. That is my body. I had hair growing out of my face, and I felt like I was turning into something and didn't know what. Like, I've always been drawn to much darker works of art, like monsters or disfigured beings. I find, in a weird way, like a kinship with the horror genre.
Horror is where the other was celebrated. And she realized that this was an art form that could communicate her experience.
I was just like, oh, I didn't know you could use this genre to actually talk about something so personal. And it was scary, but it was also very hilarious and relatable.
Jeromey was inspired by all the films she was watching. At the same time, she was increasingly curious about sex, but had a lot of guilt about it. Holed up in the cramped apartment, she began making these video essays, combining footage from her favorite films, editing them together with chilling music. I've watched one, many times, and it's this barrage of very sexually explicit clips. It's really violent, but in the clips she's chosen, the women aren't victims. I can hardly watch it through without muting it or turning away, and I cannot imagine the editing process watching these clips again and again.
For me, it's very pleasant to watch. I never felt disturbed. When I'm putting these clips together, it's more of just, it's hard to explain. It feels like I'm releasing something outside of myself.
She was trying to destroy what her religious upbringing had taught her about sex. That it was sinful, shameful, and only caused pain. Gradually, Jeromey started leaving the apartment more. She got a job, started going to a community college. She knew that she wanted to be an artist and took classes in film and dance and creative writing. Even though the people at the clinics had told her her hormones were fine, that she just needed to lose weight, she was pretty sure that the hair growth was connected to her hormones and to her depression.
I just felt like there had to be some kind of physiological answer to the reason why I'm always sad all the time. And I know that I had the external stressors and insecurities and all of that, but it just felt much more intense than that. Like the sadness, it just felt very heavy.
She found an endocrinologist who agreed to see her at a reduced rate. Blood tests showed that her androgen levels were high. Androgens are hormones that direct an intricate dance involving many hormones in our body, but especially ones that have more masculine effects, like testosterone.
It definitely made me feel less feminine. I felt like it just validated my feelings of feeling like this physical dysfunction.
He prescribed an androgen blocker, hoping it would normalize her hormone levels. But that didn't help with the hair. He thought the hormone imbalance could be due to something happening in her reproductive system. And so he recommended that she see a gynecologist.
I was just like, no, no, thank you. I mean, my reaction was just images of me on a bed and them trying to stick something in me. And I think I spent years just avoiding my body, and that includes my female genitalia.
Anytime she went to the medical establishment, it always just felt like proof that she wasn't a woman. And so she was scared that if someone were to look at her vagina, well, then it'd just confirm that her body belonged in the category of other.
I just thought my vagina was like this scary place, and it was not something that should be seen. It's going to be like cobwebs down there and like a bunch of minions coming out.
After 2 years at the community college, she applied to film school. She got into the new school in New York City. Between financial help, student loans, and working, she cobbled together tuition. Her time at the new school was a dance of steps forward and steps back. In the film program, amongst other artists, she wasn't as much of an outsider, but she still didn't have many friends, didn't date, and kept to herself. At this point, she was trying to manage the hair by pulling it out with a tweezer, sometimes shaving it, but it just kept growing. But Jeromey was gaining confidence, like in dance class and in video editing, and in the course she took on feminism in horror films. But as she neared her last semester at the new school, there was one thing that she just hadn't been able to move past.
I felt shame over being a virgin, and I was letting it overpower me, and I was living in shame of it. And, you know, having sex for the first time, people often equate that with getting mature and becoming a woman. And being a virgin just made me feel like a little girl, like a child. And I think that I carried myself that way as well. I just didn't want to do that anymore.
Some people might solve this problem by going out and sleeping with someone. Not Jeromey. For a while now, she had been writing erotic fantasies for herself, filling composition notebooks with short stories. And she had started writing this story about a praying mantis.
I was thinking of the praying mantis and how they mate, you know, their sexual mating process.
For those of us not as well-versed in entomology, the female praying mantis eats the male after they mate.
And I'm just like, why can't that be the mating process for humans? Because that would make things so much easier for me.
It was this idea that inspired her senior thesis film. There was no question of the style.
Horror is the only genre that can capture that emotional intensity of it all, of all of my feelings and fears. I intentionally set out to overcome my relationship with my virginity, because I felt like that needed to happen. I just knew that I wasn't going to be able to really deal with, you know, depression until I start dealing with these inner feelings that I'm having, which is shame and confliction, especially when it comes to being a virgin.
She began writing. The film is about an entomologist named Jalise who's studying the mating process of the praying mantis. One day, she gets a mysterious bug bite on her neck.
Interior bathroom night. A young woman grimaces as she stares at the bleeding bite on her neck in the mirror. She peels open a
In the film, Jalise has this boyfriend, Dinsky, who really wants to have sex with her. But she's a virgin, and she keeps rejecting his advances.
Interior bedroom night. Dinsky lays beside her with his face resting on the palm of his hand. He begins to run his fingers down her face as if his hand is a spider. Jalise aggressively pushes his hand away. Stop.
Seriously? You don't mind creepy crawlies all over your skin, but not my fingers.
Over the course of the film, you get the sense that Jalise is starting to go a little crazy from the bug bite. Then she calls up the boyfriend.
Dinsky.
Where have you been? You don't sound so good.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
I wanted to know if you wanted to come over.
He embraces her and they begin to kiss. Jaleese grabs his shoulders and pushes him off of her and onto the bed so that she's on top. She takes off her shirt and they have sex. The screen goes black.
Stop!
A loud scream is heard as we see Jaleese biting on Dinsky's lip. He screams and struggles. He flails around until his body can no longer move. Jaleese continues to eat other parts of his face until he's barely recognizable. Nothing but blood and guts lay underneath her, his body now living at the corners of her mouth as she continues to eat.
The film ends with a shot of Jaleese straddling the dead boyfriend, looking demonic and satisfied and full of power. Unlike the character in her film, Jeromey was still a virgin. But she had written herself into the narrative of womanhood. She was a virgin with sexuality, with a unique kind of femininity, derived from darkness and forged in her art.
If anyone, you know, thinks that I should be ashamed of being a virgin, then just know I'm going to end up eating you.
Making Virgin and the Prey was a creative high point. It's a really good film, and Jeromey is proud of it. But as anyone knows who's poured themselves into the making of something, you feel amazing and you feel changed, and then time passes and you're back to yourself. And sometimes you can do all this work and do all this growth, but at the end of the day, your body is your body and we're attached to our bodies. We're attached to our genetic lot and to our life experience. And in some ways, no matter what you do, your body is going to come back and say, here I am, deal with me. In her final months of senior year, Jeromey made an appointment with a gynecologist. At that point, her periods were also very irregular. She got blood drawn, and the results showed very low estrogen levels, like in the postmenopausal range, and high FSH levels, which indicate that the ovaries aren't working properly. She was diagnosed with primary ovarian insufficiency, or POI for short. POI is rare in women as young as Jeromey, but not uncommon, and for women under 35, the rate is 1 in 250.
My chances of having children is very little or to zero. The lack of estrogen makes me at risk for heart disease and osteoporosis. And I just knew. I wasn't surprised when she told me. Because all those years of just kind of feeling like fragments of a woman and having these issues with my hair and just feeling very disconnected and disassociated from femininity and my womanhood, just kind of all tied together at that moment.
After graduation, back in LA, Jeromey eventually found an OBGYN who specializes in reproductive endocrinology. Jeromey had one of the most severe cases of POI the specialist had seen. Jeromey and this doctor are currently working together to figure out a hormone replacement therapy that will increase the estrogen levels to relieve some of her symptoms and protect her bones and her heart. Jeromey's case is complicated and there are still unknowns. The POI is likely the reason for the hair growth, but it's not for sure, and it's unclear if the hormone replacement therapy will even solve that. And so Jeromey started doing electrolysis, a slow and expensive hair removal treatment. At this point, the hair isn't as much of a big deal for her. And as for the connection between POI and depression, there are higher rates of depression among women with POI. There hasn't been enough research to say why or what's causing what, though there was a recent study that found that depressive symptoms started before the onset of POI. In Audre Lorde's essay, The Erotic as Power, She wrote that the erotic is a measure between our sense of self and the chaos of our strongest feelings. It is the life force of women. In touch with the erotic, you become less willing to accept powerlessness. For Jerome, the art is the erotic.
When you're creating something very personal, it's very intimate and it's vulnerable, and it sort of contains all those like similar qualities of feelings that you feel when you are intimate with someone. And so it definitely feels like an erotic release. It's kind of like just showing a part of yourself that you don't normally show to anyone.
When faced with darkness, I think most of us look away, close our eyes, or we let the darkness overwhelm us and fall victim to it. But Jerome stares straight into the darkness. Through her art, she's created beauty in monstrosity. And that is where she's found her sexuality and her power. This week in the Bodies Facebook group, we'll be posting information about POI and other hormonal conditions like PCOS. You'll also be able to find links to Virgin and the Prey and Jerome's other films. You can find a link to the Bodies Facebook group in the show notes or by going to kcrw.com/bodies. Come share your reactions, your stories, your knowledge. Nothing is off the table and everyone is welcome. You can follow the show on Twitter at Bodies Podcast and me at Albie Tweetin, ALBTWEETIN. If you like Bodies, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I've gotten some requests for episode transcripts and one place to find all the resources. Well, now you can go to the new and improved bodiespodcast.com. Thank you, Sarah, for your help with the website. This episode was produced and edited by me, Allison Berenger. Editorial advising from Sharon Mashihi and Camila Kerwin. Original score and sound design by Dara Hirsch. You heard footage from Jerome's The Virgin and the Prey, which included music from Sodomus and Clankbeeld. Reporting help from Hannah Harris-Green and Kristen Lepore. Caitlin Pierce provided additional feedback. Cover artwork by Sarah Bachman. Episode art by Kathy Farthing. Bodies is made with support from KCRW's Independent Producer Project. Special thanks to managing editor Kristen Lepore, who advised on this episode, as well as Nick White and the whole KCRW team. 2 weeks from now, we'll be playing the winners of the Bodies Award from the KCRW radio race. After that, we'll be picking back up with Bodies episodes. I'm Allison Berenger, and this is Bodies.